I've always wanted a ham radio set. And now that I've got one, I'm going to listen in on distress signals and notify the authorities and prevent disasters and noble things like that. Calling CQ, calling CQ.
Read of those whose hearts are filled with greed, and rob and steal from those who need to right this wrong with blinding speed. Goes underdog, speed of lightning, roar of thunder, fighting all who rob or plunder. Underdog. Up both far and near for underdog, speed of lightning, roar of thunder, fighting all the power of thunder, underdog.
And welcome to Clubhouse Radio Live on 90.7 FM, WDXC Broadcasting, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. I'm your lovely John and your DJ Sean Money, and
I'm your host DJ Cola, and today we got a show all about, you heard it, and now we're doing it,
underdogs.
And how, you know, no matter how rough of a position you're in, just think about how better of an underdog story that's going to be for when you succeed.
Facts.
So we will be right back. After a song, no news and weather today. We texted the guy in charge of that, and none today, but we will do our impromptu version of that when we're back.
And besides, who's the best underdog you know? Spider-Man, of course.
Just came to my senses, yo. I stay in another dimension. Fear is non-existent. Suit up and swing through the city. Hey, annihilate. I'm wide awake. Be very afraid. I'm in my own world. Give me space. I'm in my own universe. Give me space, babe. Yeah.
Weezy Carter. I'm about to go Peter Parker. If he ain't me, he just a creepy crawler. Push by the lighter. Pull up in a new Ferrari Spider. Spider web necklace with the diamonds. She turned the spider woman into a biter. I will not go back and forth with you. I see you got the black widow with you. You should have had a black hero with you. I get an arachnophobia. I've been lit since I flicked the lighter. Since I was an instant business spider. They been trying to wash the spider out. I got spiders crawling out your mouth. Spider.
I just came to my senses. Yo, I stay in another dimension. Fear. Non-existence, suit up and swing through the city. Hey, annihilate, I'm wide awake, be very afraid. I'm in my own world, give me space. I'm in my own universe, give me space, babe. Yeah.
I'm focused, I'm chosen, I'm golden, I'm stronger, on missions, ain't no folding. Soldier, my vision, persistent. I took the game, it's over. I made a name, it's global. My enemy, Passover. I took it way to the top. I had to learn to be smart. I had to move with my heart, keeping my eyes on the part. Cause it get evil and dark. Evil and dark. When it comes to my opponents, I know how to beat them. I know to defeat them. Living my life out of moment. Somebody calling, somebody gon' need me.
I just came to my senses. Yo, I stay in another dimension. Fear is non-existent. Swing through the city. Hey, annihilate. I'm wide awake. Be very afraid. I'm in my own world. Give me space.
felt so alone. Lucky me.
Bad days made 100 good stories. 100 good stories make me interesting at parties.
100 bad days made 100 good stories. 100 good stories make me interesting at parties. Yeah, no, I ain't scared of you. No, I ain't scared of you no more. No, I ain't scared.
Made 100 good stories. 100 good stories make me interesting at parties.
100 bad days made 100 good stories. 100 good stories make me interesting at parties. Yeah, no, I ain't scared of you. No, I ain't scared of you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio, broadcasting to you live on 90.7 FM WGXC, Acre Catskill in Hudson. Today, I'm your host, DJ Cola, and I am joined with...
Oopsie.
DJ Show Money.
And that song was 100 Bad Days by AJR, and that goes to show, no matter what terrible situation you're in, you can always make a comeback. And that is what today's show is going to be about, underdogs. But before that, let me just explain what Clubhouse is, because you're listening to Clubhouse Radio. And Clubhouse pretty much is a drop-in center, which is a community center, but better, because we're brought to you by the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green, and on top of a community center having... you know, snacks, food, a place to chill, TVs, PlayStations. We also have mental health professionals that you can talk to if you're having a rough time. And if you're not having a rough time, we're still here for you to make your time even better, because we got snacks, TVs, PlayStations, like I said. And we do field trips and a whole lot more. But today's show is about underdogs. So without further ado, let's get into it. Do you want me to start us off? All right. So I have a list of underdogs here, but I'm going to start off with one that I don't even need to look at my notes for, and that is Eminem. He is very much an underdog. He grew up without a father. His mother had very much substance abuse issues, which reflected on him and his music. And he also grew up in 8 Mile, which is pretty much in Detroit. It's technically not part of Detroit, but it's literally like... a walk away. Like, if you walk 5 steps, you would be in it. And despite all of that, he came through and he ended up being, you know, a millionaire. And a lot of his best work was inspired by his rough times. Like, some of his best work being, you know, cleaning out. You know, and I don't even want to prove my ignorance, because some of these songs are a little bit old. And believe it or not, this radio station is run by Gen Z. But when even his newer stuff, some of his best newer stuff, like, what was the one song that just released with Juice and M? You know what I'm talking about, right? Lace It. Yeah. Something like that. But yeah, you know. Absolute GOAT. And his best work, being derived from some of his worst problems, almost fits the last, you know, song too. 100 bad days make 100 good stories. And 100 good stories make you interesting at parties.
Godzilla.
Yeah, and Lace It. Godzilla and Lace It. You know, Juice WRLD is a good example of an underdog until, you know, rest in peace. But it just shows that people who struggle in life sometimes are some of the most interesting and rich people. Not only just rich in terms of money, but rich in terms of personality. So that being said, would you like to talk about some of your underdogs? Or play some videos that we got?
Yeah, I have videos. We'll play a little calming music, and then we'll transition into that, alright?
Yeah.
Cool.
This is your brain. Is this a video I picked out, or you picked out?
And this is your brain.
Ooh, alright, bet.
In the winter, LeBron has. He's even had to live out of his mother's car. LeBron didn't have sleepovers just for fun. He slept on friends' couches to survive. Now he's an NBA superstar and one of the richest athletes of all time. Here's LeBron's rags to riches story and a review of financial moves that took him from broke to a billionaire.
Also, just saying, by the way, this video is,
by
Nonstop.
Yeah,
if you like underdog stories. Yeah, it's not us. Thank you.
LeBron James spent half of his childhood without a permanent home. His mother Gloria had him when she was 16, and by the time LeBron was 3, his grandmother had passed away. Without heat in their old deteriorating house, Gloria was forced to move around for LeBron to survive cold Ohio winters. They would stay with relatives or friends for a few weeks, with LeBron often sleeping on beat-up old couches. Out of 160 school days in the fourth grade, LeBron was absent for 82. Then one day, thankfully, LeBron found his guardian angel. That angel's name was Frank Walker Sr., whose son Frank Jr. played peewee football with LeBron. Finding out about his horrible living conditions, Walker offered Gloria that LeBron could live with his family until she finds a stable job and gets on her feet. It was one of the toughest decisions of Gloria's life, but she accepted, and the 9-year-old LeBron became the newest member of the Walker family. Finally, for the first time in his life, LeBron found stability. He had perfect attendance in fifth grade with a B+ grade average. Around that time, he also started playing AAU basketball and soon fell in love with the sport. In sixth grade, Gloria found a stable job and an apartment, and LeBron moved back with his mom. Throughout all hardships, he continued to develop his basketball skills, and in eighth grade, he was already dunking. As a high school freshman, LeBron was already so good that he led his St. Vincent St. Mary High School to an undefeated season and a state title. As a sophomore, James averaged 25.2 points and 7.2 rebounds, with 5.8 assists and 3.8 steals per game. And St. Vincent St. Mary won another state championship. And before his junior season, LeBron appeared on the cover of Slam and Sports Illustrated, which made him the most popular high school basketball player of all time. Life was good. Gloria and LeBron weren't homeless anymore, but they certainly weren't rich. However, there was a feeling that it was soon going to change. So, when LeBron was a senior, Gloria gifted him a $50,000 Hummer H2, which stirred national controversy. LeBron and Gloria were on public assistance at the time, living in a modest two-bedroom apartment on Akron's tough west side. There was no way they could afford such a luxury vehicle, but LeBron was months away from becoming the number one pick in the NBA draft, and it was the safest bet in the world to loan him and his mother the car. LeBron hadn't even been drafted yet and was already hanging out with pro athletes and rappers. He was driving an expensive car. Generally, he was still pretty broke. Which makes this next financial move completely bonkers and shows how crazy intelligent he is. When James was still playing for St. Vincent St. Mary, Reebok offered him $10 million. All he had to do was choose to sign with them and not accept any meetings with Nike and Adidas. At the time, LeBron was an 18-year-old kid who had been homeless half his life, and he was now holding a $10 million check. While 99.9% of people in the same situation would jump at that kind of money, LeBron turned it down. He realized that other shoe executives would also be desperate for him to wear their brand's logos, so he waited for a better offer. On the very next day, he was sitting in a high school classroom, broke as ever, knowing that if he got injured in practice, he might never see this kind of money again. But he bet on himself, and this proved to be the first out of many smart financial decisions to come. After months of pitches, whining, and dining, Reebok eventually offered James $115 million to sign with them. However, in late May of 2003, LeBron decided to sign with Nike, autographing a 7-year, $87 million contract. James chose the Swoosh brand because he believed it would be a better long-term fit, despite Reebok offering $28 million more. If he had accepted the initial $10 million offer, Reebok would have probably signed him for a much lower price. But because he rejected them, shoe companies were forced to bid against themselves and up the ante. And ultimately, James signed the biggest shoe deal in history for a rookie. In fact, LeBron wasn't even a rookie when he signed the shoe deal. He wasn't even drafted yet. The 2003 NBA draft happened 1 month later, where LeBron, as expected, was selected number one overall by the Cleveland Cavaliers. His first NBA contract was for $18 million over 4 years, which means that LeBron signed two deals worth more than $100 million before he even played 1 minute of NBA basketball. Of course, King James proved that the hype was real and that investing money in LeBron was a smart call. In 2004, he became Rookie of the Year, and in 2005, he was already an All-Star and named to the All-NBA second team. With that kind of success riding the initial hype train, the LeBron mania amongst advertisers could only grow bigger. James became a brand ambassador for Coca-Cola, State Farm, Samsung, McDonald's, and many others. In 2006, the Cavs offered him a maximum rookie extension, and James signed for additional 4 years and $60 million. He could have chosen a 5-year contract, but he smartly opted for more flexibility over a few extra dollars, a move he often repeated in business, firmly believing in his worth. Come 2010, after his deal was up, LeBron became a free agent. He chose to announce his free agency decision on national TV. 13 million people were watching when LeBron uttered the infamous words.
In this fall, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach and join the Miami Heat.
While the decision was tacky and it brought him hate from the entire NBA world, he did raise over $7 million, which LeBron donated to the Boys and Girls Club and various other charities. James's contract with Miami was worth $110 million over 6 years, with the early termination clause after year four. And interestingly, LeBron, Wade, and Bosch all gave up more than $10 million each, signing for less than the maximum so they could work all three of their deals into the salary cap. In 2011, LeBron was the most hated man in basketball, and the majority of the world was happy when he lost the finals to Dirk and the Mavs. But next year, LeBron bounced back, spectacularly got rid of the Celtics, and his decision became worth it when Miami defeated the Thunder for his first NBA title. Next year, the Heat repeated as champions, but after they lost in 2014, LeBron was on the move again, rejecting Miami and heading home to Cleveland. Apart from making a full circle and promising to bring a title to his hometown, it was interesting how James structured his contract. Instead of signing a four-year deal, he opted for a one-year contract with a player option. It was the first time ever a player chose that kind of short-term contract, but it proved to be a really smart move on many different levels. First, it kept the pressure on the Cavaliers to keep improving the team, knowing that James could leave each summer. When LeBron rejoined the Cavaliers in 2014, the Cavs didn't yet own his bird rights, which meant they could only offer him a 4.5% raise each year. When the Cavs regained his bird rights, it allowed LeBron to sign a deal with 7.5% raises each season. However, the most notable reason for LeBron was surely the incoming 2016 TV deal, which caused the salary cap to explode. In 2015, LeBron opted out of his contract, signed another 1+1 deal with a player option, and opted out again after winning the title in 2016. And that's when he decided to cash in, signing a $100 million contract for 3 years. With a $31 million salary for the 2017 season, LeBron became the highest-paid player in the NBA for the first and only time. That basically means he was underpaid for his entire career based on his production and value on and off the court. James knows it too, but he made sure he doubled and tripled his salary with smart investments. Shortly after the decision and moving to Miami, LeBron started fully realizing the power of equity and ownership instead of just receiving short-term cash for endorsements. In 2011, he bought 2% of ownership in Liverpool Football Club for $6.5 million. The club's value skyrocketed in recent years, from $480 million in 2010 to more than $4.5 billion today. Fenway Sports Group, which acquired the English club in 2010, agreed to trade LeBron's 2% ownership of Liverpool into 1% ownership of the entire company. Apart from Liverpool, the Fenway Group also owns the Boston Red Sox, Pittsburgh Penguins, Fenway Park, and 80% of the New England Sports Network. When LeBron played for Team USA at the 2012 Olympics, he gifted the entire team Beats by Dre headphones, and the whole team of the most popular athletes at the Olympics wore them before and after the games. It was marketing at its finest, but LeBron didn't get any cash for endorsing Beats. Instead, he received small ownership of the company. When Beats sold to Apple for $3 billion, Kendrick Perkins claimed that LeBron's cut was worth nearly $700 million, but that is exaggerated. James probably earned around $30 million when Beats sold, plus some Apple stocks that tripled their worth today. In 2015, James walked away from an endorsement agreement with McDonald's worth an estimated $15 million and instead became an investor in the fast-growing Blaze pizza chain. He reportedly paid just $1 million for a 10% slice of the pizza company, pun intended. Blaze Pizza has since grown to more than 300 company-owned and franchised stores throughout the U.S. and Canada, and LeBron's share is now worth more than $30 million. Also in 2015, he signed a lifetime deal with Nike, which is estimated to rake in more than $30 million annually into LeBron's account. James has taken equity in brands like fitness company Beachbody, which acquired Ladder, the sports nutrition company James co-founded with Arnold Schwarzenegger. He also owns stocks in Apple, Lyft, and some other well-known brands, and is endorsing huge companies like AT&T, Pepsi, and Kia. But again, that's not where he makes most of his bread. It's almost unbelievable how he does it, but LeBron is also the owner of multiple businesses. Even though the decision became a flop from the basketball standpoint, LeBron and his longtime friend and business partner Maverick Carter quickly realized the power of producing their own content and how they are no longer confined by TV and big media companies. In December 2014, LeBron and Maverick launched Uninterrupted, a digital platform designed for athletes to give testimonials about their experiences. Their most notable project is The Shop, a talk show that features famous people from all forms of entertainment. In 2020, Uninterrupted, James's marketing agency, and Spring Hill Entertainment all became the Spring Hill Production Company. With more than $100 million raised by investors, Spring Hill quickly became a major player in movie production. Their most notable project is Space Jam 2, starring LeBron, which earned more than $160 million worldwide. They also produced the HBO documentary What's My Name? Muhammad Ali. and the Netflix movie Hustle, starring Adam Sandler, among other projects. In October of 2021, Spring Hill reportedly sold a share of its company for $725 million, but LeBron still remains the biggest shareholder. In 2022, Forbes announced that LeBron became a billionaire, becoming just the third billionaire athlete ever, behind Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods. James is currently the all-time leader in earned salary in NBA history, and he'll finish the 2023 season with $435 million earned in the NBA before taxes and fees. Considering James is still averaging nearly 30 points per game, it's reasonable that he'll sign another maximum contract that would push his NBA earnings over half a billion dollars. Considering that he owns several companies, is a marketer's dream for endorsing products, is a smart investor in up-and-coming startups, and his lifetime deal with Nike, he's still going to earn about $100 million every year, even when he retires. That's a solid chunk of change for a kid from Akron who couch surfed to survive, and it's safe to say that he really is the chosen one and the king.
just wanna stay in the sun where I find. I know it's hard sometimes. Pieces of peace in the sun's peace of mind. I know it's hard sometimes. Yeah, I think about the end just way too much. But it's fun to fantasize. All my enemies who wouldn't wish who I was. But it's fun to fantasize. Oh, 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 oh. I'm born, so I'm taking my time on my ride. Time on my ride. Easy to say, we have a list of people that we would take. A bullet for them, a bullet for you, a bullet for everybody in this room. But they don't seem to see many bullets coming through. See many bullets coming through. Metaphorically, I'm the man, but literally, I don't know what I do. I'd live for you, and that's hard to do. Even harder to say when you know it's not true. Even harder to write when you know that tonight there were people back home who tried talking to you, but then you ignored them still. All these questions, they're folded like, who would you live for? Who would you die for? And would you ever kill? Time on my ride. Oh, 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 I'm born, so I'm taking my time on my ride.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio, broadcasting to you live on 90.7 FM WGXC. Acre Catskill Hudson. Sorry, we just had someone playing, but we're going to react to that right now. Acre Catskill Hudson and a Wavefront website, wavefront.org. Let's go right into it, and I'm joined with...
What? DJ Shaw Money. Yeah?
What?
So...
I
want to react. Ow. Okay, I'm holding it.
First off, you messed me up because you said you wanted to reaction, but I got confused because I thought you, well, first you said you wanted to play it, and then you said you wanted to reaction, and it messed me up, and I wasn't expecting you to unmute your mic, so it kind of confused me a little bit there. That could have been a little bit of a better communication, but it's okay.
That's okay, that's okay.
Okay, so
yeah,
we're reacting to it live, okay.
Exactly.
Three, two, hold on.
One. That Harrison Ford at 30 was a carpenter.
Before he made cars.
Didn't design her first dress.
Harrison Ford, the guy who not invented cars, but pretty much sold the most cars ever.
Joined the Navy at 50.
Joined the Navy at 50?
Wait, rewind it. Rewind it a little bit.
Very long.
All the way back.
Navy.
Let's go back a little bit. Here we
Did
go.
You know
sorry,
that
sorry.
Harrison Ford at
You're killing me.
Was a carpenter. Vera Wang didn't design her first dress until she was 40. Even Captain Crunch joined the Navy at 50.
Captain Crunch, the GOAT.
All I'm saying is that you youngins is running around here trying to be somebody when you don't even know who you are yet. You know what happened to Oprah at 23? She got fired. Uh-oh. Imagine firing Oprah.
Yeah, well, that was a mistake.
No, it wasn't.
The way he just shuts him down is great.
She was just some 23-year-old punk who needed to get fired so she could become Oprah. Sometimes you gotta fail to succeed. I did.
Tight.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it. But, yeah, that's crazy. A bunch of successful people, like Oprah,
were failures.
Until they found out what they wanted to do. And that's because when you fail, why is it doing that? You're not actually failing. You're laying down the bricks to succeed. Even if you stumble and fall, that means you can climb up what you just laid down to get right back up, and it'll be easier than ever. And then once you're right back up, you can keep on building, and then you'll just keep getting better and better, just like with anything, you know, practice makes perfect, and then you'll keep on building faster, and you'll have more of a base to keep on building on, you know? But yeah, that's pretty much that.
Okay.
And we also got one more thing to react to.
I was just about to ask, do you want to play? What do you want to play? Because we got a couple of things to react to. We could play The Rock.
Yeah. Yeah, The Rock. So The Rock, everybody knows Dwayne The Rock Johnson. But what you didn't know is that he was actually arrested at 17. Before he was The Rock, he was just Dwayne Johnson. That sounds so weird to say Dwayne Johnson. Without including The Rock.
Dwayne Is it Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
Yeah, but before he was The Rock. That's before he was just Dwayne Johnson.
I mean, is his official name Dwayne The Rock Johnson? Or
Dwayne Johnson? His real name is Dwayne Johnson, but everybody knows him as The Rock, because he's The Rock.
But did he change his name to Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
Nah. That's...
I always wondered that.
Right?
Like... You think bro changed his middle name? Like, my middle name's The Rock.
I mean, you pretty much can do that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's why I wondered, right?
Honestly, if I was that successful with something, I would do that too.
I would market my name.
Right?
But anyways, let's get into the video.
Decades to do what I'm getting ready to do now.
Dwayne Johnson is...
And this is Access Hollywood, by the way.
Mistakes. On Sunday, the 50-year-old movie star explained to fans on his Instagram that when he was younger, he used to steal Snickers bars, quote, every day from a 7-Eleven.
He actually got arrested for something. It might have been that.
He is making that wrong a right by returning to that store and paying it forward.
Where's your Snickers? When I was 14 years old, every day I used to stop here at this 7-Eleven and steal a king-size Snicker bar because I couldn't afford to buy one.
That's
that was
crazy.
Pre-workout food. I did that for almost
that's
a year.
That's him at 14?
I had to come back and buy Bro. Every Snickers bar on those shelves.
What's your name?
He looks like 20.
DK, ring all these up. DK's like,
Not only did the black guy buy every Snickers bar in the store, but he also...
Alright, we're going to talk over them because, no offense, but we're better. No, I'm joking. Much love to Access Hollywood and them dropping this so we can go to that. But yeah, before he was Dwayne The Rock Johnson, before he was a wrestler, an actor, or a singer, or at least professionally, you know, he could have done those things on his own time. He probably did. But before he was professionally known for everything, or anything, really... He had to steal because he didn't have money. Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm. That's wild to me. But
right?
I don't blame him. Like,
and bro really returned the favor and went there and bought every Snickers bar just so when somebody came in, they could just grab it. Here, we can keep playing.
Yes.
We go into that.
Oh my gosh.
You're welcome. We got you, brother. Come on. You want anything? You got anything?
And now he's just Mr. Beasting it up and paying for everybody.
How much? 98.
Mr. Rock
yeah,
Beast.
That's just for you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. I'm going to leave these here. If somebody looks like they're stealing Snickers,
the Beast Johnson.
Thank you.
After decades, I am behind. Hi. Come on over here. Let's take a picture.
I got to go. The Rock is here. Bye.
After decades of me wanting to come back home to 7-Eleven and try and make good, that felt really, really good. I'm out.
In his caption, a Jumanji star revealed that his family much, yeah. was evicted.
And if you want to go, you can go to Access Hollywood on the YouTube channel. We're good. I think it's just them talking.
Nah, I mean...
You want to?
When I watched it earlier, they kind of went into like...
All right, let's go then.
Just life.
Acting career, his shoplifting weighed on him. Quote, "We can't change the past and some of the dumb stuff we may have done, but every once in a while we can add a little redeeming grace note to that situation. And maybe put a big smile on some stranger's faces."
That's facts.
On Instagram. Dwayne's life has
putting a smile on somebody's face, it's free, and then they'll return the favor.
He went on to be a professional wrestler for WWE and since transitioned into acting, becoming one of the biggest movie stars in the world. Since finding massive success, he has continued to give back, supporting kids with cancer, surprising students with disabilities, and he even bought his mother a home. But
that's crazy.
To buy your mom a home is a crazy feat.
Plus, starting, I'm pretty sure if I heard that right, a learning program for people with disabilities. That's crazy nice. I did take a little screenshot of it earlier, so I'm going to dive into that while the video's playing.
But above everything else, The Rock is still a proud dad. In October, he told Access Hollywood Zuri Hall that he works hard to be a present father.
You know, you made every parent feel seen. When you were talking about the fact, presence, right? Wanting to be more present, particularly now.
That's crazy. Before he was The Rock, you want to know what he was known for? He was known for being on the newspaper for stealing.
Is it better than coffee?
Water balloon on the face in the morning.
I'm like, do they like you?
It's the favorite game. They love to close your eyes, daddy, is the favorite game.
Yeah.
Here's what I could tell you. I try my best to be as present.
So I was wrong. It was actually somebody earlier, LeBron, that I was thinking about. He provided scholarships for as many as 2,300 children. Just because he wants people to get an education. That's something, as an underdog, amazing. Like, it's something amazing for somebody who's just born with it. But somebody who's came from that situation, trying to help out, there's some real redeeming humanity qualities. Because sometimes I get a little disappointed in us, not going to lie.
Yeah, you're right. Sometimes, I don't know about y'all. But, you know, we have people like this that make us bounce back, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And we're going to talk about some more underdog stories.
All right, so I got a song. I got two underdog stories. Which one?
Let's go into this song. And this song is called Underdog by Connor Price.
By Connor Price!
I'm the underdog. Put it all on me. Undercover boss. It'll fall on me. I ain't wanna talk now. But they call on me. What you running from? Let me talk my piece. Yeah, ain't nobody outdoing me on my own thing except that. Took a couple years, had a setback. Went back to the drawing board, put the pen back. Left that out by the bed where I slept at. Just in case I might forget that, and they don't get that. Hitting me up like you don't text back. Real friends get it, I don't sweat that. Too busy trying to turn Jetta to an S-Class. Get lab, turn a backpack to a jetpack. Then I went past them. Funny how I went from plateau to platinum. Funny how I skipped my class and outclassed them. Funny how I'm last out, but I outlast them. But they ain't laughing now. Put them in the ring, won't last around. Pack a punch like a Pacquiao. You'd have cast me out, but me, I'm the underdog. Put it all on me, undercover boss. It'll fall on me. I ain't wanna talk now, but they call on me. What you running from, huh? Let me talk my piece. Look, Monday to Sunday, never skip one day. Do this for my family and my son's sake. I never complain, I just go uptake. Give me a shot and I took it, no pumping. Listen close, what's it gonna be? You can sink or flow. We gon' find out when they miss the bow. Switch up the beat like a sicko mode. Hard drive full of these bullets, they know that it's loaded. They dumb me some bullets, you know I ain't folding. They see what I read and they know when I wrote it. I mean what I said and they know when I spoke it. I still got a ways to go. Learn from the grace, I'm taking some notes. Promise I got it, I'm taking an oath. Red popping up like I'm making some toast. Yeah.
do it my own way. Ain't no one telling me how I can move, okay? Move it my own pace. I got a lot on my list to do, okay? No one in my lane. I'm one of one and I'll never be two, okay? I just keep making the rules, okay? Won't lose, okay? Look, I'm the underdog. Put it all on me. Undercover boss. It all fall on me. I ain't wanna talk now, but they call on me. What you running from, huh? Let me talk.
Sell to millions of people online with Shopify.
Irving is 9 of 9, a steal! Irving at the horn!
Since entering the NBA as the number one overall pick in 2011, Kyrie Irving has emerged as one of the league's most dazzling talents. But he's also become one of the sporting world's most polarizing stars. So how did this Australian-born kid become such an entertaining enigma? This is the story behind Kyrie Irving. Kyrie was born to Dredrick and Elizabeth Irving in Melbourne, spending the first 2 years of his life in Australia while his pops, who failed to make the Celtics after a collegiate career at Boston University, played professional basketball down under. After relocating to the States, Irving grew up in West Orange, New Jersey, where his love for the game and his grand ambitions for the future took shape. Irving lost his mother to a sudden illness when he was only four, leaving Dredrick to raise Kyrie and his two sisters as a single father.
The Hello, everybody. Would even bring his Welcome children back to Clubhouse Radio, and this is the story of Kyrie Irving, but more importantly, Clubhouse Radio. Kyrie is the GOAT. But what we're focusing on today, Clubhouse Radio, broadcasting to you live on 90.7 FM, WGXC, Acre Catskill, and Hudson. And today is all about underdogs, all about GOATs, all of that. And, well, the story of Kyrie Irving by The Score Thing, if you like them and like what they're talking about, check them out on The Score at YouTube. But yeah, we're just talking about all the underdogs today. And so far we've talked about Slim Shady, the one of the GOATs. I mean, they're all GOATs, let's be honest. Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Excuse me. Somebody in the drop-in center that we're in just made some loud noise, but that's okay, because you're allowed to do that here at the drop-in center at Clubhouse Radio. We're, or more specifically, Clubhouse, because Clubhouse Radio, let's break that down. Clubhouse. The Clubhouse is a drop-in center, which is pretty much like a community center, but better, because we're brought to you by the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green. So we got everything a community center would, like a fridge stocked full of yummy food, pizzas, Hot Pockets, tater tots, chicken nuggets, although we are out of chicken nuggets, because me and somebody else ate them all.
Bro, what are you talking about?
Did you zone out? I was talking about
chicken nuggets.
The drop-in center, you know, we got chicken nuggets sometimes. See, the loud noise distracted me, and I used that as a segue to talk about, you know, why is there the loud noise? Because we're a drop-in center. We got youth here, you know? We're located 455 Main Street, open from Monday to Friday, 2 to 8 p.m. And yeah, like I said, we have everything that a community center has, but we also have mental health trained professionals. So if you're going through a rough time and need somebody to talk to or need to be hooked up with further resources, we can provide that as well. We got some, what's it called? Toiletries, toothpaste, toilet paper, all that. But yeah, you can come on by. And, you know, maybe the next GOAT is lurking here at Clubhouse. Maybe going to Clubhouse could make you the next GOAT. See, it's going to be like, what's it called? Ninjago. Everybody's thinking they're the Green Ninja. Then some random kid comes by and it's going to be him. But yeah, I think...
It's me. I'm Kai. I was supposed to be a Green Ninja.
But yeah, I think that's a good way to segue out into the video. You think so? Once again, this is The Score. If you want to check them out on YouTube, The Score. I mean, that's a pretty simple name, right? T-H-E-S-C-O-R-E. Yeah, that's right. But yeah, this is Clubhouse Radio, and we're tuning you out. Can't wait to see you guys next week, and we hope you have an underdog story of your own. And hey, if you do, you can email it us at ourtownourtruth@gmail.com or text it to us at 518-291-6066. One more time, ourtownourtruth@gmail.com, 518-291-6066. And bye, everybody. You will have the last words.
See you later.
Season anyway. as it was during the spring of 2012 that we were first introduced to Uncle Drew.
Don't reach, young blood. Don't reach. Don't reach, young blood.
Between the success of those Pepsi ads and Irving's production on the court, it didn't take long to figure out Kyrie would soon be one of the faces of the NBA. And by the end of his third season in the league, 22-year-old Kyrie was already a 20-plus per game scorer, a two-time All-Star, and an All-Star Game MVP, while teasing the clutch heroics that would come in the future.
Sizing up Anderson, long three!
As other youngsters have come to understand, however, it doesn't take long for fresh-faced NBA stars to go from endearing golden boys in the eyes of fans and pundits to magnets for criticism, with every flaw picked apart. The knock on Kyrie was obvious. No one doubted how entertaining of a baller he was. But through three individually productive seasons, the Cavs had compiled a record of 78 wins and 152 losses, with Irving missing 49 games due to various injuries over those three seasons. The guy was barely into his early 20s, and was already being labeled the type of empty calorie star you can't win with. Luckily for Cavs fans, they would no longer have to worry about whether a team led by Kyrie Irving could win, because thanks in large part to Irving's presence in Cleveland, LeBron was willing to return in 2014, and after winning the lottery for the third time in 4 years, Cleveland later traded number one overall pick Andrew Wiggins to Minnesota in a summer blockbuster for Kevin Love. In the span of weeks, Kyrie went from the best player on a terrible, irrelevant team to the second or third best player on a loaded, all-time team with championship expectations.
Cavaliers pushes every chance. Give him a good angle to make the pass, and LeBron lays it in.
The James Irving Love Big Three would go to four straight finals. But a lot happened along the way. After Kelly Olynyk tried to pull Kevin Love's arm apart like a chicken wing in the first round of the 2015 playoffs, Irving suffered a knee fracture in Game 1 of the finals, leaving LeBron and Matthew Dellavedova all alone in a valiant six-game defeat against Golden State's emerging dynasty. A year later, Kyrie and the Cavs would redeem themselves in the most iconic way possible, rallying back from a 3-1 deficit against the 73-win Warriors in the 2016 Finals, with Irving matching James's 41 points in Game 5, and then knocking down one of the biggest shots in NBA history in Game 7.
Trying to get him on Irving. Irving and Curry, one-on-one. Irving puts it up. It's good! Kyrie Irving from downtown!
Every story needs a climax. And for Irving and the Cavs, things would only unravel from there. The Cavs barely had time to flush the champagne out of their system before learning that those 73-win Warriors would be adding Kevin Durant, and that for all intents and purposes, though LeBron would never accept it, Cleveland and the rest of the league would now be playing for second place. The 2016-17 version of the Cavs was actually the best team Cleveland fielded during its four-year finals run. And Irving put together perhaps his finest season, averaging roughly 25 points and 6 assists on 47-40-91 shooting splits, while suiting up for 72 games. But those mighty 2017 Cavs ran into the mightier Warriors, who swiftly dispatched the Cleveland in 5 games. And despite the team's success as a whole, tensions began boiling over well before the finals, leading to speculation throughout the season that perhaps the James Irving partnership wasn't made for the long haul.